Hey folks, this is David Shore for Corruption and Child Protective Services. On this second day of January 2024, I thought this would be a good opportunity and a teaching lesson for financial literacy. Now, if you have a storage rental unit, you probably may have gotten a letter that states that the cost of the rental will go up. It's just by $1. Now, you probably also got the landlord saying, hey, we have to raise the rates. We have to raise our rent. And now instead of paying $475, you're paying $525 a month. You know, things like that. Now, you look at how much more that is and see, hey, wait a minute. My budget was for this and I'm barely able to make this. Now they're increasing it. What do I do? There's a guy that is saying, oh, you don't need money. That's just an excuse. Anyone with a job will be able to do what I'm doing. And they become a millionaire. You know, people like that have their heads up their ass. I'd like to ask a person, I bet you would too. Okay, how many jobs do I have to have? Two jobs? Three jobs? Five jobs? 10 jobs? And what about my family? When do I ever get to see them? And you know what they'll say? Well, don't worry about them. You have to build your wealth. Don't worry about it. You'll build it so much that they'll say, oh, thank you. Or they'll just tell you to kiss your ass. Well, guess what? I told you financial literacy, if you learn the rules, then you'll find out a few things. Like for starters, okay, let's say you're got a job that pays $15 an hour. And I already went through this. And after everything, you barely have enough at the end of the week or even at the end of the month. What are you going to do? Well, first thing you can do is if you've been at the job for at least a year or two, you can request a meeting and say, okay, I know that I have to wait, but can we look at where I'm at right now and see if we can renegotiate my salary or my wages? They look in everything and maybe they might be able to have enough for 50 cents an hour more. Well, I know like $15.50, you're going, okay, and maybe that'll be able to give you a little bit of a cushion. But also, if you have to take a second job, unless you have a significant other living with you, if both of you are working hard and you're paying your bills and all of a sudden you get that notice, oh, we have to raise your rates, raise this by X amount of dollars. And you're rolling your eyes. You're going, oh, you've got to be kidding. How much more do I have to pay? Well, what about these tiny homes? You know? It's called the modern Volford Capsule House Price. Now, I looked. And some of them are $30,000. Some of them are less. But if you could afford to get one of those, it's like $30,000. I've seen them around $5,000, $7,000. And I think the only thing you'd have to find is a place to actually set it up. And I know you may even say, well, look, that's good and well, but I don't have any place to set it up. And I understand entirely. So instead of looking for a house, look for property. See how much a piece of land will cost. in your area. See if you can afford to do that and also do this. Get us a tiny house. Now, you may be able to get a tiny house, where maybe two, and just connect them together. That way, instead of two tiny houses, you got one big one, or even container houses, whereby they're set up to where you got the separate bedrooms and everything. Really look into these. I bet if you look long and hard enough, I bet that there are programs that'll help you do that. When gas is $2.69 a gallon, which it is here in South Bend, that is still about a dollar a gallon more than when Donald Trump left office. And if it continues to drop, it could drop right around what the gas prices were when Donald Trump left office. Think about it. Or his last year in office, 2020. So, if you get that and you're going, wow, maybe we can't afford to do these things. But remember, after you take care of everything, your house payment, your rental payment, your utilities and everything, make sure you're not overextending yourself. But then again, you got these people online, oh, just come to us, you know, no credit check, no down payment, no nothing, just sign, we'll give you the money, no problem. But you look at the interest rates, plus also if you miss a payment, you know, all of a sudden they're hounding you. Hey, where's our money? Hey, you know, where's our money? Where's our money? Give us our money. How many of you have fallen into that trap? And for the kids that are listening, especially teenagers, this is a fact of life. This isn't something that I'm just pulling out of my backside. And that's a nice way of saying pulling it out of my ass. Look at the interest rates. Look at what you need, your credit score, everything. And for people that are following Dave Ramsey who are saying, don't fall into the credit trap. Don't do it. You're going to get into a trap where you can't get yourself out. In the real world, you need credit. A 650 or higher would be preferable to these creditors, because they're going to look at your credit report. And if you don't have a credit report, odds are they're going to tell you to build your credit. And if you got bad credit like me, odds are what they're going to do is tell you to repair your credit. And if you're working for yourself, it's going to be 2 years down the road before you can even think about putting even a bid in on a house. Plus, you have to make sure of your utilities, make sure they're all paid up. Your car payments, make sure that they're up to date. Car insurance, you name it, everything counts. It is exhausting, yes. Very exhausting. It's one of those, why am I doing this? But once you get into that house, I hear, it's like, you're, whew, finally. But then you got a new set of rules. You remember when you just had to call the maintenance man and say, hey, look, this is broke down, that's broke down. Guess what? Now you have to get it repaired. They're going to tell you, hey, this is your responsibility. You don't have a landlord. You're your own landlord. You got to take care of all that. So that's also you have to put into account. What a plumber would cost for a busted water pipe. What if the furnace goes out? How much is that going to cost you? You got central air. What if the central air goes out? The roof. You might have to have the roof repaired. Things like that. Trust me, it is exhausting. I had to replace a roof one time. Not cheap, I'll say that much. That's when I tried going with a lease purchase. And I'm telling you, It only, like, I'm going to be an owner-operator again. And I know I'm responsible for everything. The fuel, the repair costs, everything. But the rewards are also there. You have people that want to believe that, oh, the worker should get their rewards. Well, if you're working for yourself, I agree. If you work for somebody else, the Bible, and I know I keep on harping on the Bible, but the Bible clearly states there's a story of there is a farmer, and he says he's ready to get to the harvest. So he went to a group of people and says, look, I will pay you X amount for the day. Okay, no problem. They go to work. Farmer realizes there's more work. So in the afternoon, early afternoon, he says, he gets a group more, says, I will pay you this much, same amount as the first, and go out there. And he still sees it just a little bit more, so he hires a final group middle of the afternoon, says, I'll pay you the same amount I paid the first two. And so they go out there and they're working, the harvest is all done. And so the first people are thinking, hey, yeah, we're going to get a bonus because we were here the longest. But he pays each one the same. And the first group says, oh, wait, hold it. You said if we did this, you pay this. Says, we assume you're going to pay us more. And the second group said the same thing. He says, well, hold it. When I offered you this money, did you not agree to the price? Says, well, yeah, but we put more work in. It's like, it is as it has been said, the last shall be first and the first shall be last. The moral of it is, if you sign on the dotted line for your wages, check everything out, because your employer is going to go by what you two agreed upon. And another thing, what you agree upon is probably lower than what the average wages are. So know your worth. And you teenagers that think you're going to make $1 million, you better realize, unless you're working for yourself, that employer is going to want to pay the least amount for the most work. And that is a fact. So, learn that. Learn how much gas is for your car. Learn how much the repairs are for that vehicle. If you got a warranty, find out how much you got to pay out of that warranty. If it's 100%, if it covers everything for 5 years or 10 years or whatever, then just whenever the service comes up, you take it in for service. When you're buying furniture, secondhand is not too bad. It's the same thing as the stuff in the stores. Maybe it might not be all shining with all the bells and whistles. But then again, if you're working 8 to 10 hours a day, does it really matter what it looks like? Now, on the weekends, if you have weekends off and you look around and it's presentable, then by all means. If you want better, then you start off with what you can afford. And then as you go up, then you slowly start replacing things. And then by, let's say, 5 years, you invite people over and they go, wow, this is really nice stuff. And you're looking around and says, thank you. It took me 5 years to get all this stuff. And of course, people say, really, the kind of money you're making, it's like, Now, remember this saying, I said it before and I'll say it again. It's not how much you make, it's how much you keep. And that means looking at prices. Maybe sometimes you have to do what's called delayed gratification. And all that is just, you see something, I'm going to give you the Warren Buffett 7-day rule. And if you can, write it down, especially you teenagers. Write this down. And for the kids, listen very carefully. You see something in the store, no matter what it is, Instead of asking mom and dad for it, wait 7 days. Whatever date it is, let's say it's today, you wait 7 days, which is 1 week. That following Monday or something, if you still want it, and mom and dad have found a way for you to get it, or if you can find a way to pay for it yourself, they'd be really impressed with that, as long as it's not illegal. You can go into that store and know what the tax is, and maybe that same item might be reduced. The price might be reduced in a week. You don't know. And you say, oh, wow. And so you buy it. But also, this gives you a chance that if you really want it, or if it's just something that looks nice and shiny. That's the whole thing about the 7 day wait, the 7 day rule. And know what wants and needs are. Needs are, you need to pay your rent or your mortgage. You need to pay your gas bill, electric bill, water bill. You need to pay your car payment, if you have a car payment. You need to pay on the insurance. You need to pay on this. You need to pay on that. And I will tell you, it's not going to be easy. So, what I'm getting at is this. Know everything. Know the rules. And above all, the wealthy don't want you to know this, because otherwise everyone would be wealthy. You put money, this one guy was right. You put money to aside what you can afford. But put that money to aside. That way, if an emergency comes up, let's say you had a bad week. Let's say you didn't work as many days. You got an emergency fund right there. Even if it's a couple $100, that might get you through until your next paycheck. And then just put money aside as you can. By doing that rule, you're going to make it. It may be uncomfortable, but you will make it. Another rule you should know is that you have employers that are going to manipulate you. Employers that are going to try to, some people will call it Jewing you down to the lowest amount of money. You know what I say? Don't let them. Tell them, hey, look, I know that this job, let's say the median for mine is $70,000 a year. So you can tell them, look, I know that the median wage for a truck driver is $70,000. That, look, I want to, can you come up to $75,000? By doing that, by knowing what the job is worth and what you are worth and what you will not settle for, there is this, I just came across this. You know what you are. Tell them what you're not. Sounds strange? It's not. You're not a stereotype. You're not a label. You're a person. And when they finally realize that you know and you assert yourself, I'll give you a good example. If I'm an employer and I say, well, this is a driving position. It's over the road. Your annual salary can be as much as $100,000. What would you like as a, what do you want it for a salary? Something like that. You can say, well, I've checked the median wage and I know it can make up to $100,000 a year. I would like to, how about $74,000? And the employer will say, oh, okay. But remember this, and remember good. Just because you start at that wage does not mean you will stay at that wage. when a year comes by and you look at your wages, and let's say you make $80,000, are you going to renegotiate because you started at 74? Wait an extra year, see what happens. And remember that the economy shifts whichever the wind blows, as you have heard. So what I'm going to say is this. Check everything out. Check the job out. I've always said this. And I want you teenagers to really be listening to this. Okay? What it is. Sorry, I went silent. I went to check something. But I want you to hear, when you get that first job, negotiate. If you are an apprentice, that means you have zero experience. You know, ask, you know, check what the median wage is for beginners. If the median wage for the job, you're at like utility clerk at Kroger, and let's say they all start everyone out at $14 an hour. You know, first question should be, is this the actual starting wage for this position? If they say yes, then the next step, because when you're negotiating salary, you're also negotiating benefits. Ask, does that include benefits? If they say no, still accept the position. It's a learning, something to learn. It's to get you used to going in, going to and from a job, doing the job. And this is the one thing, if anyone calls you an ass kisser, say, yeah, I'll kiss as much ass as I have to get to where I need to be. Being an ass kisser doesn't mean you're a suck up. It means that you know what you're worth, and you know that there are people who can get you there. But also watch very carefully, because there are some people that will try to destroy and try getting you fired. When they say, oh, the job is done this way, yet you remember, or you even if it says, well, according to the book, this is how they want it done. Now, if you have somebody like my daughter training you, she says, yes, that is the way. And she'll show you the right way. Know people like that. Get to know the right people. Get to know how the job is done, and then listen to how it's being trained. If it varies, go to that person's immediate supervisor and say, my trainer is training me this way. This is the way the book says. Which way should I go? And they may call the person in and says, are you training opposite this? They say, no. It's like, okay, you know, the supervisor might say, you know, maybe I should tag along just to see how you're doing. If you get that kind of like foreman or shift manager, you got a good one. If the one says, oh, just do what they say, what this person says, then go by the book. When the book says, you know, step one, step two, step three, and this person's trying to go straight to step three, say, well, what about these other steps? Says, oh, don't worry about that. I'll show you how to do that later. Say, I would appreciate it if you would show me this way. Now, are they going to call you names? Of course they're going to call you names. But guess what? In a year or two, and your salary is going up because your work is exceptional, you're not going to worry about those people. In fact, you're going to eventually surpass people who are going to try to sabotage you. Know your job. Know what you want to get into. And those that are, and your parents that your kids want to go to college, look at professions that they will benefit them like a year down the road, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years. No matter what it is, find out everything you can, because you don't want to get something like basket weaving 101 and it's not going to help them at all. Business management, that's a good one. Like truck driving, if you can get into that right away, but learn about business. Don't be the stereotypical truck driver. Learn about business. When you're a truck driver and you present yourself like with a polo shirt, nice jeans, nice shoes, what's going to happen is as you progress, you're starting to carry yourself a certain way. And as you make more money, you're going to carry yourself differently. Does that mean that people are going to say you've changed? If they say you've changed, I said, just say thank you. Thank you for noticing. I'm really trying my best to do better than my parents. Because isn't that what parents want? Their kids to do better than they did? To have a better life? And parents, don't get down on your child simply because your child is doing better. Compliment them. And kids, when you are doing better, help your parents out in any way they can. The father's too proud, and I know a lot of you dads are listening. Don't be too proud if all of a sudden your child is a success, makes hundreds of thousands of dollars or more a year, and is able to afford to pay off your mortgage or something. That's doing better than you have. But also, ask questions. Maybe your child is doing something you were never told or shown. Financial literacy is just that. It's education. It's knowledge. But also apply what you learn every single day. If there's something that doesn't work, put it to the side. Maybe it'll work later on. Don't completely discard it. Because everything you learn can be useful. But in due time. So, folks, that's a little financial literacy. But always learn. You're in charge of your money, not the government. Even though they would like to tell you how to spend it. So, this is what I have to say to the federal government. Go fuck yourself. I'm going to spend my money my way. And I'm also going to save my money. And I'm going to be in a better financial spot a year from now. And you're not going to stop me. Have that attitude. Because in the end... Sorry, folks. Sorry about that. I have a phone and it's got a little slippery. But know this. If you get knocked down 7, get up 8. That's an old Japanese proverb. And when you get up each time, tell the government in the world that doesn't want you to do this, go fuck yourself. You are not in charge of my money. I am. And always know where your money's going. Because in the end, you're going to look like December 31st of this year. You're going to look around and say, whoa, I've got a lot more money than I had before. That's when you have to decide. Where do you think that money should go? And here's one final one. You always hear about these people. They go around and pick up a penny that's laying on the ground. Do that. Find some place to put those pennies. See how many pennies you got at the end of the year. Cash them in. And then put that money in the bank. Put it in a savings or something and forget about it. You do that year after year after year and just do that. Before long, you're going, where did I get all this money from? Then you realize the pennies. So this is David Shore for Corrupted Child Protective Services. Keep your head down. Keep moving forward. And for CPS, I just have to say, Your days are numbered. They are numbered. And before too long, your ability to be a law enforcement agency will be gone, because you are actually an administrative agency. And it's coming where you will only be able to do administrative duties and not take kids, because that is kidnapping.